What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Mater Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Well, now it's time to talk gardening with Pádraig Horkan, horticulturist, keen gardener, and of course a member of the Horkan Garden Centre family. Pádraig, good morning and welcome.
A very good morning to you, Pat.
Now, you've got a number of jobs that we can get going on, and one is to prune the roses. We always think of St. Patrick's Day as the deadline, but we can start now.
Yes, we can. And the weather is absolutely ideal at the moment. It's 10 to 12 degrees at the moment, Pat. So the grass is actually growing and it's lovely to see the spring bulbs emerging at the moment. But at this time of year, over the next couple of weeks, it's a great time of year to prune back roses. And if you examine your roses, you'll actually see some new buds starting already. So now is an excellent time to prune them back. I'm a great believer in pruning them quite severely. So if you've got varieties like trumpeter or flower carpet roses or any of the standard bush roses, this is the time of year to give them a really good hard trimming back. Back to within 6 inches of soil level is always my advice, Pat. Any damaged branches, any crossing branches, any weak branches, anything thinner than a pencil, a normal pencil or biro, cut those really severe back and clean up the bed, tidy up the bed, take any weeds or any bits of rubbish that's around the base of the bed. And also it's the time of year, once you've pruned them, to actually give them a dressing of winter wash. And winter wash is simply mixed with water. You apply it on a dry day and that gets rid of any of the bugs that will start to appear later on in the spring. So things like aphids that will attack your roses later on, the winter wash cleanses them once you've given them a prune back. It's also a great time, Pat, for pruning apple trees. So if you're in pruning mode, blackcurrants, gooseberries, redcurrants, apple trees, pear trees, this is a great month during January or early February to get those pruned back.
A question on roses. Ask Pádraig, when should I prune back a floribunda? Grew to about 5 feet last year, have not been pruned yet. Also, when is a good time to trim back a cherry blossom tree? That's from Maureen in Sligo.
Okay, well, it's hard to believe. I've actually got a rose still in flower in my garden at the moment, Pat. A lovely variety called Lily Marlene. But the floribundas literally mean many flowers. And you've got varieties like trumpeter, which is a really good one. But this is the time of year for pruning both the hybrid tea roses and the floribunda roses. Just cut them back, Maureen, any time over the next 3 to 4 weeks. With the cherry blossom and any spring flowering plants like cherries or the beautiful forsythii or berberis that are going to come into flower in February, March and April, we leave the pruning of all spring flowering plants until they finish flowering. So once your cherry starts to go out of flower at the end of April, early May, that's the time to cut it back. So all spring flowering plants, you leave well enough alone at this time of year. Summer flowering plants, you can start thinking about pruning them over the next couple of weeks.
Now, a technical question on a vine. We rebuilt a house and raised the garden to start again, built a greenhouse especially for the vine. We saw it first in a ruined glassless greenhouse with a huge quantity of fruit hanging from it. The roots are outside, but we had to cut it back to nothing to get it into the base of the greenhouse. Huge leafy growth this year, but no fruit. We've cut it back now to about 4 to 5 feet above the soil. Don't know what to do next. Have bought two books about vines, but the terminology is so specific. Spurs and rods, etc. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I really don't want to mess this up. This is a frustrated fruiter, Fiona in Rathfarnham.
Well, look, the good news, Fiona, is that grapevines are actually really easy to grow. Now, they tend to be vigorous, and if they're not maintained and managed and pruned back and kept kind of tidy, they tend to be a mess, particularly in a greenhouse situation. We grow them on a rod and spur system, and that simply refers to the method of growing the vine. So what you're looking for is to create one or two really strong branches going up the side, inside in your greenhouse, up the side of the greenhouse and right across the top. So that kind of main stem, as it were. So you need one or two main stems. And then the side branches that come off from the main stem, that's where the spurs or the fruits will be created. Now, it does take a couple of seasons for the grapevine to come into fruit. And so my advice really is, as it comes into growth now in March, train 1 to 2 stems only up the side of the greenhouse and right across the top on wires. And any side branches that they produce, you pinch them back in midsummer to 5 leaves. In next December, you prune back the main stem by 2/3. So each winter, we're shortening back that main stem. So generally, Pat, a grapevine would produce 10 to 15 growth feet of growth per year. So you're shortening that back by 8 to 10 feet every year. So it takes a number of years to build up that main stem. Now, if the listener wants maybe to send an email into the program, I can send them more specific details on when to prune and how to train the grapevine. But once it's explained, it's actually a very easy process. And the great thing about grapevine, they live forever, Pat, once they're trained.
From Peter, he says, every year I find a worm in my apples. I use a moth trap as recommended, but with limited success. Any advice would be welcome.
Okay, so this is the apple maggot or the codling moth. And it's a bugger because it actually, it eats the apple from inside. So the apple can look absolutely perfect in midsummer. But when you cut it inside, it's all brown and disheveled. And sometimes you'll see the white worm in the actual fruit. So the eggs are laid in early spring as the fruit are developing. So my advice really at this time of year is to prune your apple trees back. Again, put the winter wash that I recommended for the roses, because like the roses, the winter wash will get rid of codling moth or any overwintering pest, because the caterpillars or the little pupates are there on the tree at this time of year waiting for springtime for the little fruitlets to develop. So if you give your trees some of the winter wash now, that helps to eradicate the problem. And the traps that the listener mentioned, they go round the actual stem of the tree. So the codling moth is flightless, it's wingless, so it actually crawls up the stems during the summer months. So if you've got a sticky tape, particularly August, September, October, that time of year around the main stems, that helps to reduce the population of the codling moth. So my advice really, Pat, is to prune the apple trees now, give them a dressing of the winter wash, and then next August, put some more of the sticky bands around the base, and that will certainly reduce it. You're not going to eliminate them altogether, but you'll certainly reduce their numbers.
Is it time to transplant rhubarb plants?
Yeah, it's an excellent time to lift them and divide them. Remember that once you divide them, don't take any sticks off the rhubarb for this coming year. Allow the plants to build up the energy again. Because remember, you're robbing the stems and leaves of the plant once you start to harvest it. So it's a great time to divide rhubarb. It's also a great time of year, Pat, for forcing rhubarb. So if you've got rhubarb in your garden and you want some early sticks of rhubarb in late February, early March, if you cover your existing clumps of rhubarb with an old bin or anything that a big old pot, terracotta pot, to exclude the light, you'll actually get rhubarb at the end of February or early March. And we call that forcing rhubarb. We're fooling into it, into the getting the rhubarb to think it's springtime and it starts to grow early. So a great time to divide, a great time to plant rhubarb, but also a great time to force rhubarb for an early rhubarb pie.
Now, from Jane in Dublin, we'll be moving house in the next year and can take any of our plants with us. We've some lovely large mature plants, especially Acer, Hydrangea, Phormium and Bamboo we'd like to bring, as well as many smaller ones. Is it possible, first of all, and what's the best strategy?
Yes, it is. And actually, this is the time of year. The plants are dormant at this time of year, so they're actually asleep. So now is a really good time to actually start digging them up. You can put them into pots or containers if you're not going to be moving for, say, the next 3 to 6 months. And they'll be quite happy living in those containers as long as you keep them well watered out of doors. But during the winter months, any time from November right through until early March is a great time to move plants in general. And it's also a great time of year to put them into pots so that you can transport them in June and July or August. And plants like Phormiums, that's the New Zealand flax, Pat. It's got big, broad, grass-like leaves. You should shear that back, cut it back to within a foot of ground level, dig it up. You'll actually be able to propagate the plant to make 3 or 4 plants from the one clump of Phormium, put them into pots, and then they're good to move anytime during the summer. And the same applies with the hydrangeas. Again, I would prune them back, dig them up, put them into pots, into large pots, and you can transplant them then any time at your ease over the summer or autumn period. So it's an excellent time to start thinking about that.
Final one, and briefly if we can, about moss. Treated my lawn twice with Zero Feather Lawn. Well, but the moss is back and seems to be worse than last year. Is there something I could do in January and February that could deal with it? Zero alone doesn't seem to address it completely. That's from Joe.
Well, Zero is brilliant because it literally works overnight. It's very, very fast acting and does get rid of the moss, but you do need to repeat the application of Zero. And remember that moss starts to grow in the autumn. So it's at its worst at this time of year as we go into early spring. So my advice really, Pat, is to get out on a dry day with the Zero, apply it. It will kill the moss overnight, but do repeat it in about 6 or 8 weeks' time and that'll see the moss off. And then as we come into early spring around St. Patrick's Day, start feeding your lawn with a good quality lawn feed and that'll help to green it up and bring it on.
All right, Porrick, thank you very much for joining us. That's Porrick Horkin.